But I want to share with you a few things about our ministry. Ted challenged me a little bit. He said, have you ever presented your ministry, what you're doing here? I don't think so, but I'm going to give you a little bit. I don't have a video, but I'll share some things with you. I did this morning a little bit, but this ministry started with Pastor Nelson back in 1983. After we were in, he went with me on a trip to El Salvador, where we spent a week or so with a missionary named Jeff Adams there, and got to preach at a prison and maximum security prison and share a testimony and preach to them and through interruption. I mean, that's interesting, preaching through interruption. But it was great. I was a little nervous because they took away our passports when we went into the prison, and then they took away our wallets and money. And I was really nervous because I didn't have much of anything. But anyway, they kept everything in our pockets, put it in a basket, and then we could go into the prison. Well, you can't go anywhere without a passport, you know, and can't really go anywhere without any money or credit cards or anything. And when you surrender it, because the guy's got a big gun he's holding, so you give it to him because he's in charge. Well, anyway, looked mean, and we just went in and did what they said and got to preach. And then, and about halfway through my testimony, I stopped and said, how many of you know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? Every hand went up. Virtually every inmate in that prison had been saved in the last 3 weeks, because it only started 3 weeks prior to that prison ministry. They have a Bible study every day at 3 o'clock in the prison. They have a national pastor that comes in and preaches. And it was just, that was a relief. I noticed, though, there was one man who did not raise his hand. The commandant of the prison, he was standing in the back. He was like this, you know. Anyway, after the service, I went up to him and I said, I noticed you didn't raise your hand when I asked if how many know for sure if you died, you go to heaven. I said, are you born again? No, but pretty soon, he said. Pretty soon. He was listening. And who knows? But you know, they had an interesting thing in that prison. They have a little factory where they make guitars and different furniture and things and tables and whatever. And I noticed that they were making these plaques with Bible verses on. And the reason I noticed these things and asked them is because I used to make similar plaques and whatever when I was a young Christian. But anyway, their prison system ought to be ours. Okay, if you go to jail, your family has to take care of you in jail. The government doesn't take care of you. They have a little village outside the prison where all the family members live. And they make the meals. The women get together and they cook a big kettle of something and bring it into the prison. And if you have a family, you get to eat. If you don't have any family there, you can eat when they're done eating, if there's any left. Rather interesting. Make you want to not go to prison. But anyway, the men that are in prison have to work. Isn't that terrible? You know, the Bible says a man don't work, he ought not to eat. Well, anyway, they happen to work in the factory. And they make these products. And then the family takes what they make to the market and they sell it. And that's how they get their money, because they have to support their family even though they're in prison. Wow, what a thought. Amen? Good to God, we did that. But anyway, be less prisoners. And so that's the system. And they're making these plaques, and I said, when did you start making these? Oh, when we got saved. We started putting Bible verses on those plaques. You know, they're the best sellers. They go to the market, they sell them all. People buy them. And our families are doing much better now that we're Christians. Isn't that an amazing thought? Isn't your family doing better if you're a Christian? Amen. I'm doing better since I'm a Christian. I know I was a pretty wretched guy before I got saved. Praise God for that. But anyway, Pastor Nelson saw all this. And, of course, we ministered to the missionary we were with. And when we went down, we found out that his wife and daughters wanted something special that ladies like nylons and a few goodies like Snicker bars and peanut butter, things they couldn't get. And so we had a friend help us out in Miami, and he got us these things, met us at the airport and gave us these things. We took them down in Walmart shopping bags and gave them their presents. And they were so excited, these girls, especially for the Snicker bars. They don't get them every day, I'm telling you. Anyway, So we get back home, and Pastor Nelson asked me about, it was down there that on the way back, he got a burden for his homeland. God spoke to his heart. These people were saved, and we had many people saved in meetings, and he was burdened about his homeland. He's a Swede, Nelson, of course, he's a Swede. So his grandfather came from Sweden and whatever, and God was dealing with him about reaching the Scandinavian people, especially the Swedish. And he shared a verse with me that God gave him in his devotions about going to those that are his nationality or background, whatever. Anyway, so later on he got a burden and he started praying about this and developed this ministry and asked me if I'd help him, and I've been helping him. Asked me about going on the first trip with him, and I helped him all this time. I pretty much we worked together on a lot of things. That's one of the reasons I ended up taking it over when he died. But you know, the Scandinavian ministry is unique because we produced the Bibles and scriptures. The first thing we printed was a portion of scripture, John and Romans, in English and Norwegian. That's not Swedish, I know. But we didn't have a good translation in Swedish. God raised up a man by the name of Morten Hemlestad, who that had a burden, and he liked to read in the King James Bible in English, but he said that the Norwegian Bible was not near as good because it lacked a lot of things, and because of the state church, they changed a lot of scripture to make it conform to the state church so people would, we taught, like baptismal regeneration, different things that they taught. Anyway, he didn't like that, so he started copying a translation for himself, comparing it to the King James. And eventually, Pastor Nelson found out about it through another missionary and asked him if we could reproduce it. And he did a little John Romans for us, put the King James on one side, English on the other, and on one side and the Norwegian on the other. And we did about 150,000 of them, and they got distributed all over, all the way up to the top of Norway, all over, literally everywhere. Now, then he translated the entire New Testament and the Psalms and Proverbs. We printed that, and then we ended up printing a whole Bible. On our first trip to Norway, we had a prayer meeting at the King's Palace in Oslo on the patio. He was not home. It was in May, and he was vacationing somewhere. But anyway, we had a prayer meeting that one day we could give the King of Norway a pure copy of the Word of God, equivalent to what we have in the Word of God right here. 16 years later, we were able to do that. And we printed up 10,000 whole Bibles, 15,000 New Testaments. We shipped all this over to Norway. We did 1,000 leather-bound Bibles. Really nice Bibles. And a friend by the name of Sverre Olsen, who was in the church there, he helped us, and him and a couple other guys delivered the Bibles to the King of Norway so everyone in the royal family could get a copy of the Word of God that we printed. And the King of Norway wrote us a letter thanking us for this Bible and said this was the best translation that he'd ever seen. He said, I really appreciate it. He said his daughter was teaching a Bible study to his grandchildren in the palace every week on Thursdays, and he really thanked us, and he believed that Jesus was the Son of God, and he believed he was saved. And he said one other thing. He said, by the way, I'm a direct descendant of King James. That was rather interesting anyway. And God answered our prayers, but it took a few years, you know. Never quit praying for things that you want. Never quit praying for people you want to see saved. God's always working, amen? In his time, things develop. Well, at the same time, we worked with Ron Neely in Norway, or in Sweden, and Ron was able to translate the New Testament, as I said this morning, and we printed that, and now we're working toward doing the whole Bible in Swedish. That's our next project, and it's exciting to have a part in all this. A lot of things transpired, but it's taken a lot of years to accomplish. Pray that God would raise up more missionaries with courage, because in a socialist country, which we're fast becoming here, they have a lot of problems when they go there. People with children can't homeschool their children. They have to put their children in the state schools, where they have a lot of other things going on that you and I would never want. for our children. I mean, they teach a lot of things, and they also, you know, one of the things they do is your children are not your own. They belong to the state. So they will send a dentist or a doctor to the schools. They'll examine the children and see how they're doing. And if they need dental work, they'll do the dental work or anything. If they need an operation, they'll operate on them with or without the parents. And parents have no idea or no consent. They don't have the opportunity to give consent. So those are not a good thing. I knew a family that he's now in Vancouver ministering there to the Swedish and Norwegian people there because his kids, he didn't want them in the state school, so they revoked his passport, so he had or his visa, so he had to leave. He was homeschooling, and that was illegal. It makes it hard, and it'd be wonderful if some people that are older, that more mature Christians, that had children all grown, surrendered to that type of ministry and went there to help start churches and work, build churches in that country. But that's a big prayer request there. Our ministry is basically the Swedish, Norwegian, and Danish people and Finland, which is, we only know one missionary that was going to Finland, but he halfway through his support, raising support, he stopped and he's not going. So we don't really know what God's all going to do there, but we need people to pray that God will raise up more laborers in these areas. And we work with them, helping them get the word of God to these people. Our prayer is that one day we can go over with some folks and visit with them and help them distribute the word of God openly in the streets and whatever. But that's not very that's not very possible right now with this COVID stuff. You can't even get to go there and visit, let alone go there and stay for a week or two. So anyway, you pray about that. And in your Bibles tonight, turn to Romans chapter 1. John chapter 12. Turn there, John chapter 12. That's a good place to start. Oh, I ought to start someplace, amen? Anyway, time to drink. You know it's dry in here this time of year? You think that has anything to do with cold weather? How many love the cold weather and the snow? You do, and you love snow and cold weather. Look at you guys. You must be Wisconsinites. How many would rather be in a warmer climate? Look at that. You're outnumbered. But anyway, I have a brother-in-law down in Florida. He lives in the villages there. And he said it was 72 degrees this morning. I said, shame on you for telling me that. Oh, well, we'd love to go visit him, but I don't know if it's going to happen. But anyway, pray for our ministry. I ended up taking over the ministry because nobody else really wanted it. And we'd like to see it continue. We're in the process right now of raising funds for the whole Bibles to be printed in Swedish and in Norwegian. We're going to do another print. And so that's a prayer request there for the money and the funds needed for that. But I've learned this over the years, 43 years in this ministry of Bible printing and whatever. I've learned that when God's ready, God provides. I learned that whatever God orders, He pays for. I will never, never forget, I hope, the trip we had to the Philippines many years ago, back in 2011. In 2009 or 10, a pastor asked me about praying about raising up the funds to print a container of material to go to the missionary he supported in the Philippines. And I said, I'll pray with you about that. We had no money toward it. And within 6 months, God helped us raise the money to print not one container, but six. We had nine churches involved in printing the Word of God. We filled six containers with Bibles, New Testaments, every kind of literature, scripture-wise, that we could do, and send them over. And we got to go over, and we got to see 1,000 people saved the time we were there, and got to distribute over 1.2 million scriptures in the city six semi-loads, literally. And we distributed in the city of Baguio. Yes, it's a northern area city, but it's up in the mountains, so it's a little cooler there. And we had a tremendous time. The mayor opened the city to us, gave us a key to the city, literally. He had us all meet down at City Hall with him on Mondays, and he He literally made a proclamation and declared Bibles for Baguio Week. I wish our states would do that, our cities. And he put on the side of the buses Bibles for Baguio Week and the website answersforeternity.com. I mean, it was a fabulous trip. But the Word of God changes lives. And God just used to give us an opportunity, and He answers prayer. We prayed about it, and He gave us the need, the money that needed. I don't know where it all came from because I didn't do it, but God raised up the funds to supply all that. And I believe He'll do the same with Norway and Sweden, and He's been doing that right along here. We've never missed a meal, obviously you can tell. I'm almost twice the man my wife married. Anyway, you'll get that later, boys and girls. Anyway, in John chapter 12, verse 23, let's stand as we read the Word of God. And I'd like you to read verse 26 with me. We'll start at verse 23 down to 26, and you read verse 26 with me. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Now, I didn't pick the songs tonight, but that was nice to sing a song on service. Thank you. Amazing the Holy Spirit working, amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. Help us, Lord, to strengthen our Christian faith and our lives to serve you better each day. Help us, Lord, to be more faithful tomorrow and than we were today. And help us to look to you each day and give us opportunities to witness and open doors. And Father, we pray for the world and the needs out there, that the needs for more missionaries, especially in places like Norway, Sweden, Finland, Denmark, difficult places, Lord, in our world. And it's the world is not our home. We know we're just passing through. But God, we ask that you would raise up laborers that would minister and help us to get the Word of God out and to be able to see people saved. And we thank you for it. And thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Bless this church and meet their need of a pastor and give them the man that you want them to have and leadership that you want them to have. We thank you for those that are in leadership here at the deacon board and each one involved, Lord. I just pray you'd bless and God that you would just meet every need this church has and continue to meet their needs and use them for your glory. And we'll give you the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, being a servant is an important thing. In case you didn't know it, Jesus was a servant. And not only that, the Apostle Paul was a servant. Did you know that? I want you to look at some passages here. Every book that Paul wrote in the New Testament, he'd started off like in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. He'd say, "Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons." And then you look at Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, he says, "Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God, God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness." And then you look over at places like in James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. The purpose of being a servant, the pastor is a servant of the church. We are to, by love, serve one another. Galatians chapter 5, 13, someone in our church, Jackie Clayton, wrote a little song about that verse. And it goes, "But by love, serve one another every day. But by love, serve one another every day, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." That's what we're supposed to do, amen? By love, serve one another, and serve each other every day. Paul was a servant of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 9:19, he said, "For though I be free from all men, I have made myself a servant unto all, that I might gain the more. That's the important thing about being a servant. If you serve others, you're going to want to see them saved. You're going to want to help in every way that you can to get them saved. Paul was called to be an apostle by the Lord himself. He was separated unto the gospel, and he obeyed the command of God to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We too are to be servants to our God and to each other. I remember when we were on a Mexico trip many years ago. It's funny how you get older, you can remember many years. But anyway, we were down in Oaxaca, Mexico, with missionary Rex Cobb. And Rex took us to a restaurant in town, and there was a Christian man that he knew there that owned the restaurant, and his name was Lionel. And we went in there, we pulled up in front, and Lionel saw Rex's pickup, and he ran out, and he opened the door, and he escorted us into his restaurant, and he opened the door of the restaurant, and he escorted us over, and then he took and pulled out the chairs and seated everybody around the table, and then he took his T-shirt out, and he wiped the table off, tucked it back in his pants, and then he went about to serve us. He ran into the kitchen, came back with a couple menus, and we're sitting there, and we can't read the menu because they're in Spanish, and we didn't read Spanish. But I knew not to order certain things. But anyway, he went back into the kitchen, and they came out with this tray of hors d'oeuvres, like different things on there. There was sausages and whatever, and hot sauce in the middle, and he looked around. We didn't have any forks, so he served us. He took and picked up a piece of sausage, dipped it in the hot sauce, and then he put it in my mouth. Then he took another piece, he dipped it in, then he put it in Monica's mouth. Then he dipped it and he put it in the other guy's mouth. And then he put it in Rex Cobb's mouth, and he served us. Now, today you get in trouble doing that, amen? But anyway, he was serving us. He didn't lick his fingers between each one either, by the way. He was good about that. But anyway, he served us. And then he brought us our food. And, of course, he noticed we didn't have any silverware. And I ordered tripe on a big tortilla. They brought it out. And he noticed I had a little trouble trying to figure out how to cut it. So he reached over and he served me. He picked up my tripe and he tore it in strips. Then he picked up my tortilla and he tore it in strips. Then he rolled up my tortilla with the tripe and he dipped it in the hot sauce. And he put it in my mouth. And he went to do Monica's, and she said, "Oh, I can do that." And she did it herself. He served us. He served us. He was willing to do anything to make us enjoy the meal and have fun. I don't know if we really enjoyed it, but we did have an interesting day. But anyway, he taught me what it is to be a servant, being willing to do anything to make it better for others. Amen? And that's an important thing. So we're to, by love, serve one another. There's a verse, we read it, I quoted a little bit in Galatians 5:13. I sang you a song, but it's, "For brethren, we have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another," it says. We're to look for opportunities to serve people. I mean, go out of your way to be a friend. I remember my neighbor in Green Bay, John Barrow, when he moved into the house next door. And of course, he wasn't saved, and we went and tried to witness to him. And I'm Lutheran, he said, I don't need that, I'm fine. You know, anyway, after a period of time, when he'd be at work, working the night shift, he didn't have time to cut his grass would get high. So I would just go over, when I cut mine, I just walked straight across and cut his. And then he'd thank me for it. And then, of course, I noticed when I was at work, he would cut my lawn when I couldn't do it. Rather, good thing to do. Even in snow blowing, he'd snow blow my driveway and vice versa. But anyway, we served each other, and it wasn't too long, he got saved. Amazing. He was open to the gospel because we served him. He told his Lutheran pastor when he got saved, actually when he got saved, the night that he got saved at a Jack Benempe meeting, he called me up when I got home from the night at 12 o'clock at night from the night second shift. He said, "Can you come over?" I said, "Sure." So I went over to his house next door, and he said, "I got saved tonight," and he opened up the cupboard, and he said, "What do I do with this?" And it's full of booze. I mean, literally, every kind of booze you can think of. Oh, I said, "That's easy. The Bible says wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So to be wise, let's get rid of it." So we opened him up and poured him down the disposal. We flushed his garbage disposal real good, And we cleaned it all up, and we threw the bottles away, broke them up so nobody knew what they were, put them in the trash. And, you know, he was rejoicing about that. If I had done that a month before, he'd have wanted to kill me. Isn't it amazing how God can change someone's life and heart? His wife got saved. His daughters both got saved. And, you know, it's exciting. His grandchildren are all saved. His daughter married his daughter married a young man whose brother is the pastor of the church now. And I remember when those boys got saved. You know, it's an amazing thing when you serve others. God spreads that love. Amen. When I remember when we got saved, my wife and I probably were the only ones in our family that ever were saved initially. The day I got saved, her mother, her dad, her younger brother, and his girlfriend all got saved. Since that day, all my children have been saved. My grandchildren have been saved. We're praying for our great-grandchildren. They're too young right now to understand. But we're praying that they'll get saved. I've had all four of my sisters get saved. Got to lead my 92-year-old grandmother to the Lord. Her brother at 70 led him to the Lord just before he died. Got to preach their funerals. Had to lead a number of people to the Lord. My mother got saved. And it's all because somebody loved us and prayed for us and served us. Amen? They served us the Word of God. And that's an important thing. By the way, Jesus was a servant. He didn't serve just when he felt like it. He served all the time. Turn over to Matthew chapter 9 a minute. There's a well-known passage of Scripture here. Matthew chapter 9, if you have your Bible. And in this passage, verse 35, we find here, "And Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." In verse 35, we find Jesus serving the people. He went about everywhere he went, every village he went to. He served people. He taught them the Word of God. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He taught in the synagogues. He was busy serving the people with his life. When he went to the cross, he did the maximum service for mankind. He gave himself and served us by dying for us in our place and took our sin upon himself. The Bible says, "He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." That's an unbelievable thought. But he served us by dying for us and taking our sin upon himself. What a servant that is. We need to consider that when we think of others. His whole life was a life of serving others. He was always looking for ways to help others. That's what a servant is. He's always looking. Like Lionel in the restaurant there in Mexico was always looking for opportunities to help people and to serve them. He even came out once and he said, halfway through our meal, he said, and I understood this part, he said, I have this goat head and I've prepared it and it's ready. Would you like to share it with me? And what they do is they take a machete and they hit it on top and they break open and peel out the brains. And these are cooked, by the way, and you help them. And the brains, that's a delicacy, to eat the brains of the goat right there in the head. And fortunately, I kicked the missionary in the shin. I said, don't you dare say yes. And he said, oh, I'm sorry, we're already full. And boy, if it would have been earlier before we ordered, maybe we could have ate some with it. Oh, that's okay, he said, I can do it. And he kept it himself and went in the kitchen and ate it. Thank God. Anyway, I didn't want that on my plate. And I sure didn't want him serving me the goat brains. Amen. I got enough of my own brains some days. But anyway, I didn't need that. But anyway, Jesus was faithful to serve and look for ways to serve others. When we serve God, think about this, we glorify him. When we serve others, we glorify God too. Jesus gave us power to be a servant. In Acts 1:8, it's been quoted many times. He said, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." The greatest service that we can do to mankind is to tell them about Jesus. Amen. They don't know. Most of the world has never heard that Jesus came the first time. Most of them, as I know from statistics, over 50% of the world doesn't even have a Bible verse, let alone a Bible. They don't even know about Jesus. And we need to be a faithful witness wherever we go. You and I are both debtors. You say, well, I don't owe anybody. Well, you do. You owe them love. The Bible says we're a debtor to love others as Christ loved us. Paul said this, I am a debtor. I have more than I can wear, and so do you. Their feet and hands and heads are bare. I have more than I can eat. They will die of hunger in the street. My life knows love of noble souls. Their hearts are thirsty, empty bowls. I worship Jesus, risen Lord, but they have never heard his word. These things let me remember when the cries of the needy rise again. Where would you be without Jesus Christ? You'd be lost, right? You'd be on your way to a Christless eternity in a place called hell and a lake of fire for eternity. Thank God somebody served you one day and witnessed to you, led you to the Lord Jesus Christ, those of you that are saved. And if you're not saved, you have an opportunity in this church to be saved. Being born again, the Bible says, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The greatest service we can do to one another is to witness and to win people to Jesus Christ. It's an unbelievable thing when somebody gets saved. Their life changes. You think about that. Mine has changed radically. Yours, if you look at it, has changed if you're really saved. God gives you a desire to want to live for him, to serve him with your whole heart, to be willing to go anywhere. I remember one of my favorite songs, Lord, send me anywhere, only go with me. By the way, he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. You know, we need to be willing to go anywhere God wants us to go. Young people, you're not too old or too young to serve God. There's things you can do. You have friends in school to witness to. You have neighbors that need to be saved. Be willing to do things like, say the neighbor is an old person like me, as old as I am, you know, and their sidewalk needs shoveling. Go over there and shovel it. Don't take any money, just shovel it. And then they want to pay you, don't worry about it. Don't take it. Tell them you're serving them because you love them and Jesus loves them. God loves servants. God wants to use us all to serve him. God is looking for people that will serve him every day. Where are you going, and what are you going to do with your life? You got your whole life, young people especially. Think about what you're going to do for God. Amen? You can serve your parents. Mom, is there anything I can do at home? Whoa, give her a heart attack? No, don't do that. Mom, can I do the dishes? Oh, wow, sure. If you're too young, don't do that. But if you can, do it. Yeah. Can I help you vacuum? Can I sweep the floor? Is there anything I can do to serve my mom and dad? Yeah. You can definitely ask them. They'll help you. Go to the church. Say, Brother Rodney, what can I do at church? Is there anything we need done? Well, yeah, we could probably clean the pews, sweep, you know, dust things down, vacuum once in a while, you know, before the new guy comes to candidate, you know. Learn to look for opportunities to serve. Don't be afraid to get your hands a little dirty. It does pay off in the long run. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer in closing. And we're going to sing a song. I don't know if you even have this song in your book. I Serve a Risen Savior. Do you have that in the book? Does anybody know the word besides me? We're going to have a word of prayer first. Then we'll sing I Serve a Risen Savior. He's in the world today. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Help us, Lord, to, by love, serve one another. Help us to be faithful to do the work that you've called us to do and commanded us to do and to be the faithful witness to a lost and dying world around us. Use us for your glory and help us to be faithful above all. Bless this work and give them the pastor that they need. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name.